Let's dive right in. Aisha, welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So the onus of liability has fallen on South African government, and we now need to create a vaccine injury fund. Please, won't you just explain to us what in medicine an injury fund is required for?
Yeah, so typically what happens is that if there's an injury that is caused or a severe side effect that results from the use of a medication or a medical device, normally what happens is the manufacturer takes responsibility for that injury, and so they become liable for that. So, for instance, if you were using something and you had some sort of severe injury or effect, then you could sue the manufacturer that made that medication. However, in the case of COVID vaccines, one of the sort of conditions within the agreements to securing them is that you can't hold manufacturers liable for any sort of severe side effects or injuries that may occur. So what the South African government has done as a solution is they've created this compensation fund through which people can then apply if they happen to, you know, encounter some kind of severe side effect or injury, and then they can be compensated for that through the fund. And it does two things. So one is it does remove the liability from the manufacturer, but it also provides an alternative to someone having to use the legal system and file a claim through court, which could potentially like prolong the process. It doesn't eliminate that course of action. So if someone still wants to, you know, go to court and sue potentially the government, then they could do that, but you would first have to claim from the fund and seek compensation there first. So essentially what it's doing is it's just providing an alternative route in the event that there is some sort of severe reaction or some sort of injury that's caused from these vaccines. Then this fund provides an alternative option for somebody to get compensated for that injury.
So is South Africa one of the only or few countries faced with this burden? Or obligation?
So the difficulty is obviously a lot of these agreements are sort of kept secret. There are non-disclosure agreements attached to the procurement. So it's unclear exactly what's required of countries when they are purchasing vaccines directly from manufacturers. But it seems to be a standard clause that manufacturers are not going to take on the responsibility for these injuries. What other countries are doing, it really is up to them. For instance, the COVAX mechanism, which is sort of designed to provide equal access to vaccines, has established its own no-fault compensation fund. But that is really targeted towards more lower-income countries. So South Africa, unfortunately, doesn't qualify to access that fund. But South Africa is, at this point, we and the WHO, the World Health Organization, are sort of the only two that have this fund that's been created at the moment. But it's not a requirement of the manufacturer that there be a compensation fund created. The requirement is more so, I think, that the manufacturer is not going to take liability or responsibility for injuries that occur, at least partially. They want to be sort of protected from that.
Certainly. I mean, if they're supplying the whole world, the risk of being exposed to those kinds of cases from any country in the world for the next, I don't know, 3 years would be something any corporation would want to mitigate. Any insurance fund of this nature would need a number of inputs to get to some actuarial number to understand how big the fund will be or need to be. How do you think we'll approach this?
I think firstly, it's important to realize that the fund has been created in a relatively short period of time. We haven't really, in this country, we haven't created a fund this quickly before. So the regulations for the fund were opened on the 15th of April for public comment, but they were only opened for 5 days. So unfortunately, that period has now closed. And that is the nature of the rush is really because the vaccines from Johnson & Johnson are expected to be arriving this week. And as I said, it was a requirement from the manufacturer that before the vaccines arrived, the fund needed to be established. So there wasn't really a long amount of time before the fund was established to really iron out a lot of the details. But I do believe that Treasury and the Department of Health have been consulting with various people and they have some sort of a model in mind. The exact details of that model have not been shared in the regulations. So far, the most information we have is that they're estimating that the fund is going to sort of include around 250 million rand, and they're expecting around between 800 to 2,000 claims to be paid out of it. Whether that number will change or sort of where those funds are coming from, and how that will be administered, all of those sort of finer details still have to be, I don't know if they have to be worked out or if they have to be shared publicly still, but that information is not yet available to us.
Okay, that was what I was keen on. So it has been set up. There is a 30th of April deadline, according to your article, that we need to get this legislation over the line about.
Yes.
How is that progressing?
Yes. So essentially, now that the regulations for the fund have been, like I said, they've been put out to public comments. That essentially is the beginning of the process of creating the fund. And now that there's been public comments, those comments have to be reviewed. But basically, now that there are regulations in place, this is sort of the creation of the fund happening. What still needs to be sort of determined is how the fund is going to be administered. And that is up to the Minister of Health in combination with the Minister of Finance. So they can choose to either sort of let that administration go to an external company, or they can do it through existing structures within the department. So for instance, one potential option is that SASA could be doing monthly payouts to people that need them. But yeah, so unfortunately, a lot of the details of how they want to administer the fund is not yet clear. Hopefully, by the time the 30th of April comes and the fund has to be, you know, officially established and fully functional, and that is, again, part of the manufacturer requirements, then we should get more details on how they plan to structure it. And then also another detail that still has to be sort of finalized, I guess, for the public is exactly what injuries are going to be covered, because that is also not outlined yet in the regulations as they stand.
Certainly. Aisha Abdul Karim, thank you for giving us some insight. Journalist at Peggy Sisa Health Journalism Center. And do check out her article on Peggy Sisa Health or Daily Maverick.